Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's a Wednesday, a few minutes after 8 here. Gorgeous weather. I understand a little cold front's coming through today, which will make it even nicer. May get a drop or two of rain. I don't know. We'll get to all that right now, Carl. Let's quickly get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
That's how most of us now live here in the United States. Manipulated by lies, silenced by taboos.
I would not allow men to play in women's sports.
We know the large media is just going to ignore it. All they want to see, well, is anybody bringing criminal charges.
A lonely, self-consumed, self-serving mirror hog.
Boy, it's shaping up to be a quite a primary here on the Republican side. Chris Christie in last night, Mike Pence in today. We're going to talk about all of that more throughout the show this morning. Right now, though, I want to welcome former Congressman Jason Chaffetz into the program. And, sir, welcome in. How are you?
Mark, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Listen to you all the time on Fox. And I know you got a podcast on there as well. But you've also got a new book out that I want to focus on this morning. It's called The Puppeteers, The People Who Control the People Who Control America. Wow. There's a lot to unpack there. And it, oddly enough, I listened to Tucker Carlson's new Twitter show last night, and he was talking a lot about the people who control the people who control America, it seemed like.
Well, you know, if anybody thinks that it's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris pulling all the triggers, I got another thing. We need to have a discussion about that, because not only is it this administrative bureaucratic state, but there are a lot of outside manipulators. And the Puppeteers book, we name names, we peel it back, we show the flow of money, and we document it all along the way.
Well, you're right. If you just think it's the people whose name is on the whatever the congressional seat happens to be or the Senate seat, you're wrong about that. I mean, a lot of it, just like in this PGA Live Golf situation, comes down to who's got the money, right?
It is a lot about the money. But I got to tell you, Democrats have done a really scary job of putting on autopilot so that elections matter less and less. A quick example, a member of Congress, it's kind of legendary, goes and meets with a cabinet secretary. Cabinet secretary's not there. It's just senior staff. And the member of Congress stands up and says, I'm not meeting with the B team. I'm here to meet with the cabinet secretary. And the senior staff calms him down and says, well, sir, listen, you're right. We are the B team, but we be the ones here before you, we be here after you, and we be the ones to actually make the decisions around here. And I think that, I'm telling you, I've been in Congress, that is so true.
Wow. And well, it sounds a lot like the White House right now.
Yeah, I mean, you have people like Susan, who just left on May 26th. She was...
Congressman, you're cutting out on me a little Biden's bit. Let me have you repeat that. You cut out on us a little bit. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in downtown New York City, and it's a little crazy here.
That's right.
Susan Rice was there to 14019 that Biden put in place March after he was elected. And it basically directed federal government to use all of its assets to give out the vote. Well, maybe that would be okay. But the problem is, you know, when you find that many departments sees 95% of the employees, they vote for Democrats.
Yes.
And the president won't reveal what these plans are. He's claimed privilege, won't show anybody. Those types of things are really scary.
Yeah, still having a little trouble with your phone line, but I think people probably got the gist of that. In the time we've got left, and I'd encourage people to go to Amazon, look for the book, The Puppeteers by Jason Chaffetz. You can find it there on Amazon for sure. Let me get your thoughts. We got two new people in the race for president. It's getting to be a little crowded out there. You've got Chris Christie, who is a sworn enemy of Donald Trump, apparently, and former Vice President Mike Pence added to the list yesterday and today.
I've never had anybody say, boy, if we could just get Chris Christie in there, it would really make the difference. I've just never had anybody have that discussion with me. So I'm a rich field of people like Ron DeSantis and Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, and all that are highly credible. And Donald Trump certainly is leading the pack. I mean, he's almost lapping people at this point. So it's up to the voters. That's what it's all about. But Republicans have a deep bench.
It's true.
Yeah, yikes.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to have a horse in this race? Are you planning on endorsing someone?
No. I'm going to stay out of that. I want to find somebody that can win in November, because taking back the White House is a huge part of it. But as I point out in Puppeteers, then you have to actually starve the beast, and you've got to be able to expose what these puppeteers are doing. But these would be great leaders, the ones I just mentioned.
I know, but based on our experience and as much as they fear him, is there anybody in this race other than Donald Trump capable of doing that?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Ron DeSantis and Tim Scott. I served with both of them in the House. I think they have the type of backbone. Donald Trump has certainly demonstrated that. But I want people to read The Puppeteers, because they have to understand it's bigger and broader than just that.
Yeah.
There's people like Larry Fink at BlackRock, and you know, these types of outside groups. Randy Weingarten, the teachers' unions, these types of people, they control trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
Manipulating. And the solution part at the state level, state treasurer, your attorneys general, those types of things. Who you elect in those races, most people came who those people are. They are very influential. The states will, in large part, be the solution to this.
Wow. Jason Chaffetz, listen, great having you on. The Puppeteers, it's available now. The people who control the people who control America. Hope to talk to you again soon, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, good to get him on there, although I think the Russians were dabbling with the phone line there somewhere in downtown New York. I saw a picture of New York this morning, and they're not overblowing the fact that we had Dom Savino on earlier. If you missed it, his business report at 6:35. He works in New Jersey, and he said the smoke from these Canadian wildfires was so bad that it obscured parts of downtown Manhattan yesterday. I saw some video of it earlier. It was considerably worse than I thought when I saw it. I haven't noticed it here locally, but I guess some people have, and they've still got the warning signs up for people who are at risk not to venture outside too much today if you've got asthma or something like that. All right, let's get to a quick break here. We are going to talk to Stacy on the right. I'd love to get her take. My guess is I know who her horse is in this race for president, but I want to get her thoughts on Mike Pence and Chris Christie and the others who've jumped in here in the last couple of days to this. And we're hoping to get Charles Payne from the Fox Business Network at about 8:35. We'll be back in just a minute.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A lonely, self-consumed, self-serving mirror hog.
is not a leader.
Shout the battle cry. You'll never stop me. I'm a warrior.
Stacy Washington joining us this morning. StacyOnTheRight.com. And Stacy, great having you on again. That Chris Christie was, I wonder who he was talking about last night. I couldn't figure it out.
He hates Trump so much, he actually thinks this is a good idea. So Chris Christie, there's a video out of Trump saying that he took Chris Christie's advice often when he was president, and that Chris Christie was the one who told him that it was a smart thing to do to hire Christopher Wray to run the FBI. So, I mean, if you thought there was any good reason for Chris Christie to be in the presidential contest, if you watch that video, you understand you're wrong. Chris Christie has nothing to contribute. He doesn't have any new, fresh ideas. He represents an old wing of the Republican Party that shies away from populism and really hews towards open borders. And it's the wing of the party that brought us a lot of the problems that people complain about now, things that even moderates and people who are not exactly Republicans look at some of those decisions that the Chamber for Growth, the Club for, or Chamber of Commerce, I'm sorry, Chamber of Commerce was making. And they say, you know, why would, if Republicans believe this or that, if they have this in their platform about a sovereign nation and a secure border, then why would they do this? Those people who brought us those bad decisions, the endless wars, they're the ones who are the Chris Christie wing of the Republican Party. And that's in our past. That's from the 1900s. That's from last century. We're in 2023 now. We need something new.
Yeah. Mike Pence thinks he's something new. What did you think about his rollout?
Oh, my gosh. What? I didn't see a bit of it. I'm on the email list, Mark.
Okay.
I'm on the email list.
Well, I saw a clip of it. He rolled it out this morning in a video form, and apparently he's going to hold some public event later today somewhere in Iowa. So it was all pre-recorded, but I mean, it was pretty slickly produced with, you know, the shining city on a hill and the Reagan references and all that stuff. So
did you get an invite as media? No,
I did not. Interestingly, no. Huh? I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why. COVID's over. Pandemic's over. Get those emails rolling. Get those invites out. Create some buzz. Act as if you really mean it. You know, it's almost as if the 4,674 candidates who are currently on the GOP side in the primary are just running for cabinet positions or to increase their speaker fee. Because, you know, I don't know about Mike Pence. I don't think he actually has to do anything more to increase his speaker fee. He's a former vice president. But for some of the other candidates, you look at them and you're thinking, exactly what do you have to contribute? Or what have you contributed in the past that would lend yourself to this role? And I'm not looking forward to seeing Chris Christie sputter on the debate stage or Mike Pence, you know, kind of he looks like that cartoon character, which was cool last go around. This time it's just he's taking up space.
Yes.
I want to hear Vivek Ramaswamy explain to the entire nation the reason why ESG is a thing and why it doesn't have to be a thing. I want to hear Tim Scott talk about critical race theory, DEI, the dream of America. I don't want to hear Reagan-esque terms. I love Ronald Reagan, but I want to hear someone describe it in their own terms. You don't have to hearken back to Ronald Reagan. He was a thing. Now, if you want to be the president, you need to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I think Tim Scott has that gift. There are going to be some very interesting people on that stage. But what I really wish, Mark, is that I had the with a little button that they use on the Graham Norton show, and it flips the chair back. It's a lever. It flips the chair back, and so the person has to tell an interesting story. And if Graham Norton and the other celebrity guests don't think it's interesting, they just, you know, they give you the act, and the chair flips back, and your story's over. You have to have a good beginning and a good ending, and it can't be long, and it can't be rambling, and it can't be boring. I want that for the presidential contest. I want to be able to flip a button, and the person just gets immediately lifted off the stage. Because having 28 people up there, when the truth is it's a one-man race with three possibles, so put the one man and the three possibles up there and make sure they only talk about things that are literally happening to Americans on a daily basis, like people being canceled, people not being able to afford to buy gas, people having trouble finding the kind of diapers or formula that they need. Our obsession with sending $130 billion to Ukraine, which is in It's in Eastern Europe. It's not in our hemisphere.
Right.
I want to hear people talk about that stuff. And anytime someone brings up something that's stupid or weak or inconsequential, then that person just gets lifted off the stage. Is this something people can get behind?
That's reasonable. No, I think that's very reasonable.
Good. I hate to feel like I'm over here, like, you know, not in the same mood as everybody else. I think it's the same mood as everybody else. It's me and everybody else.
Stacey, I love it. I hate to do this to you. I got a minute and a half left. Your thoughts on Tim Scott on The View the other day, having to argue with that idiot Sonny Hostin, that his success is an exception.
Yeah, so millions of middle-class people, 55% of Black Americans live in the suburbs. There are over 50 million Black Americans in this country. 60% of Black women, I think the number's approaching 71% of Black women, have college education. We do have some systemic problems within the community. Tim Scott is not some unique outlier. He is a successful Black person. There are tens of millions of successful Black people. She is a loser, and I wish she would start using her real name. She's not. There's nothing sunny about that woman. If her name's hard to pronounce, just teach us. Annunciata, is that what it is? She should start going by that. That's all I got to say.
I'm with you. That's great stuff. Stacey Washington, love having you on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. Stacey Washington, Stacey on the right. You can listen to her on SiriusXM Patriot every night, Monday through Friday. This does a great, great job there. Love having her on here. Boy, it's the truth, isn't it? Tim Scott did a great job, by the way, defending that and just pointing out how ridiculous that panel of people are on that show. More people should go on there like that. All right, coming up, we're hoping to get to Charles Payne here from the Fox Business Network and talk a little bit more about how the markets are responding to this whole mess. We'll be back with that in just a minute.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And I know you got to go, but Live Golf PGA, you're the chair of CFIUS. Do you think there'll be a review? And I'm so curious what you thought of that transaction.
I really don't have anything for you on the golf situation. And I'm sorry to say I can't comment on cases that CFIUS is looking at. So
Will CFIUS look at this case? I know the Department of Justice is looking at the PGA, of course, in terms of an antitrust case.
CFIUS is very focused on national security.
What kind of a country do we want to be going forward?
Charles Payne, host of Making Money.
I want to be that country that was number one, really enjoyed being number one, and did everything it could to stay number one.
Charles Payne, great to have you back on the show, my friend. How are you?
It's great to be back. I'm okay. I'm doing pretty good. Head out to North Dakota later on today.
No kidding. What's going on out there?
Got a big event Thursday and Friday, you know, kind of celebrating America, my man.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. I missed my invite or I'd have been out there with you.
Well, consider this a late invite.
Nice. Nice. Hey, you know, I've been fascinated by this LIV Golf announcement this morning, mostly because, you know, Jay Monahan and the other people at the PGA seem so dead set against letting this get anywhere. And now a year later, they're embracing it. And Donald Trump called this when it first happened. There's going to be a merger. You might as well take the money now because it's all about cash, right?
It's all about cash. You know, it's sort of a reminder for people, you know, for whatever, you know, it is all about cash. And we can ignore it all we want. We can downplay it all we want. At the end of the day, you know what? Everyone's got a price, I guess, you know. But I guess, you know, there are a few things, obviously. For me, they're going to have to figure something out. Like for Tiger Woods and Rory and Colin and some of these guys who stayed. I mean, think about Rory. He was a staunch defender. You know, it's one thing Tiger's like, okay, I'm going to stay with these guys and turn down almost $1 billion. But, you know, I mean, to me, it's like, do you get a signing bonus? Because we look real dumb right now.
What? Well, Trump told him, like, you know, some of these guys walked away $150 million. And he's like, you better get that cash while you can, because when they merge, it's not going to be available anymore.
You know what's interesting with Trump? He is so practical. Like, you know, and I think this is really what it boils down with him. And why he is so intriguing as a politician. He is so practical. You cannot always predict what he's going to say or do, but it always boils down to like, hey, he's just being practical. Like, you know, we're being practical. Hey, there's a crazy disease. No one knows. It's killing a lot of people, and it seems to be coming out of China. Maybe we shut down travel from there. Just practical, not racist, not stupid, practical. Guess what? 3 months later, the world shuts down travel from China and everywhere else. So it almost his knee-jerk reaction is almost always this, you know, the open thinking and amusing, you know, maybe that gets him in trouble only because they, you know, the media will take it and put the most negative spin on it. But just the practical stuff, hey, you know what? They're giving out all this cash. Take the money.
Charles, any thought? I mean, Janet Yellen there said she didn't see this as an issue of national security. At some point, the federal government kind of dropped the ball here. They never investigated what role Saudi Arabia might have played in 9/11. But a lot of people have human rights concerns about what goes on in Saudi Arabia and how strict they are on a variety of different issues. And yet these people like Rory McIlroy, who were so critical of that, and even Jay Monahan, are now going to be basically employed by Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, there won't be any kind of investigation. We know that. I mean, this old bluster. Listen, if we can't crack down on China, you know, we won't crack down. Listen, President Biden doing a campaign. How dare Trump even have any sort of communication with this pariah state? He goes and he bows and he fist bumps and begs for oil, like, you know, because he shut down our oil or wanted to. It's just, you know, the hypocrisy is there, but. Ultimately, you know, when you start to think we're going to really, really push ahead on things like human rights and things like that, we're not. It gets back to, you know, ultimately, I guess, to the bottom line. You know, it is really intriguing, though, the stuff, you know, we are like we're ready to go. This administration is ready to go to war. I think Uganda because of, you know, an anti-gay thing they just put in. So, you know, some of the things that we do as a nation, like, well, we keep, you know, making the dollar a weapon, which, by the way, is why more and more countries want to get off of it. And yet when there's clearly violations that, you know, that go against completely what we stand for as a nation, we talk a good talk, but we always look the other way.
Yeah. And money talks. It's an old phrase, but it's absolutely the truth in this case and in the NBA with their dealings with China, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about today on making money?
You know, so a couple of things. This market is just, you know, I got to tell you how frustrated I am with Wall Street. And I just hope your listeners haven't bailed out of the market, haven't been spooked out, haven't been, you know, or told to sell great stocks to buy these boring stocks that ain't doing nothing. So I'm talking about small cap stocks today. They're making a major breakout. I'm talking about artificial intelligence. You know, as it spreads throughout our society, what does it mean and where are the other opportunities for it as well? So those are my main two focuses today. I love these small cap names, which, by the way, a lot of these stocks are truly representative of America. I think we might, if the Fed doesn't keep hiking, I think we can engineer what they call a soft landing. And if that's the case, people want to be long this market. So I'm really going to be pounding the table on the markets and specifically small caps and artificial intelligence.
The big question of the day is, does it hurt artificial intelligence if Kamala Harris is the czar?
I can't believe you put him in the same sentence, but
I wasn't even talking about the stocks. So anyway.
Oh, man, I know. Just, you ever watch the old Star Trek when Captain Kirk, you know, they'd be this advanced planet where they're so advanced they shed the human body and it's just the brain in a jar?
Yeah.
But he would babble them, like he would still twist them up with some old-fashioned logic. I could see Kamala Harris talking to AI, like, you know, AI is like, we can't compute this, everything just shuts down, like
Charles, we'll be watching today, my friend. Have fun out in the Midwest.
Thanks a lot. I can't wait.
All right. Talk to you soon. Charles Payne, Fox Business Network. Best laugh on network television. No doubt about that. That is the truth. All right. We'll get to a quick break here. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes, and I'll play you a little bit more from Tucker Carlson last night. He talked about two subjects as he rolled out his new show. We haven't touched on the other one yet today, And I know Drew's not here today, but we're going to talk about UFOs again. We'll be right back.
If you're right, if you're telling us the truth, everyone, the entire American public, has been lied to for decades.
Yeah, there's a sophisticated disinformation campaign targeting the U.S. populace, which is extremely unethical and immoral.
You are saying to the human race, for the first time, an official intelligence representative at a high level from the U.S. government is saying publicly, we are not alone.
We're definitely not alone. Absolutely, the data points empirically that we're not alone, yeah.
Do we have bodies? Do we have species of non-human?
Well, naturally, when you recover something that's either landed or crashed, sometimes you encounter dead pilots. And believe it or not, as fantastical as that sounds.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, he says. This is the guy from the National Geospatial Agency who's making this claim, that he was part of a task force that wasn't read in on this more top secret task force. In other words, you don't have the need to know, Mr. President. That's what they're alleging, right? And of all things, on his Twitter feed last night, is really his first show, Tucker's first show on Twitter. That's what he talked about. In addition to the Ukraine problem and who bombed the bridge and all that stuff and big media watching over you, this is what Tucker discussed last night because he's covered the UFO story pretty extensively, the sightings, that is, of unidentified flying objects. Go to cut number five, please, Carl.
Yesterday, for example, a former Air Force officer who worked for years in military intelligence came forward as a whistleblower to reveal that the U.S. government has physical evidence of crashed non-human-made aircraft, as well as the bodies of the pilots who flew those aircraft. The Pentagon has spent decades studying these otherworldly remains in order to build more technologically advanced weapon systems. Okay, that's what the former intel officer revealed, and it was clear he was telling the truth. In other words, UFOs are actually real, and apparently so is extraterrestrial life. Now we know. In a normal country, this news would qualify as a bombshell, the story of the millennium. But in our country, it doesn't.
In our country, it doesn't even register. I did see it mentioned in a few spots this morning. Here's the thing about it. There's one exception to this. There's no late night television right now because of the writer's strike, right, yeah. Carl?
And the actor's strike is coming next.
Except Greg Gutfeld, who, of course, did pick up on the story yesterday.
Listen. Air Force vet David Grush is blowing the whistle on a top-secret UFO program that the military is supposedly running. He worked for the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, or SBAC, and says the government is hiding stuff from us regarding unidentified flying objects, which are now called unidentified aerial phenomena. Apparently, this info is so top secret, President Biden has offered to hide it in the garage next to his Corvette. Grush claims they have an entire program dedicated to recovering alien spacecrafts that have crash-landed. And by reverse engineering their technology, they've been able to maintain Nancy Pelosi's face.
leave it to Gutfeld. It had to have someone who had a little fun with that last night. But you can't watch something that seems to be more credible than what that guy was saying, right? And I just wonder what they do with it now. Does Congress pick up on it? Do they have some hearings? Why aren't we being told about this? If it's true and you haven't been told about it, does it piss you off at all? Just a little bit that they don't think you're capable of dealing with the knowledge that there's superior beings out there somewhere who visited Earth? I don't know. I just think that this guy seems, and it was on News Nation, right, which is not Elizabeth Vargas, the former anchor from ABC News, is the one that introduced it. So, by the way, a little breaking news while we were in the middle of the show there. Chris Licht, whatever his name is.
L-I-C-H-T.
The embattled chief executive chairman of CNN is out. He's been fired. And part of it probably had to do with, there was some expose the other day on him, because it was an Atlantic article where he gave some insight on what life was like inside of CNN and what was going on during the campaign and all this other stuff, and Don Lemon and that big failure, and he's been trying to reorganize things, but it hasn't worked.
He had to call a staff meeting to apologize to his staff after the Atlantic article came out.
And they were still pissed off. So they apparently, his boss was unhappy about the article as well. So he's out.
13 months.
We'll see what happens at CNN now, if anything. They're not going to change. They're all in, for sure. Hey, stay tuned. My guess is Brian Kilmeade will be covering that story coming up here in just a couple minutes on his show. And, of course, then the Annie Fry Show and Mark Reardon show this afternoon from 3 to 6. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. See you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.